just prayed for Paul Bennison because I think, it really shows us the dilemma about talking about praying for healing. That this is a man who has been used all over the place, and he has seen miraculous healings, and yet he's coming to us this morning with a problem with his knees and feeling despondent, a bit like I suppose Jeremiah, or you know, some of the prophets. That it so often happens that people who've been used by God then go through these real periods of God, why me? So I'm glad really that what I'm saying is kind of comes into line with that I'm not bringing you a triumphant message altogether this morning, because healing is a source of sometimes why, Lord, why this and why not that and so on. And I can only give you a very sort of brief snapshot. There have been so many books, so many sermons preached about healing, so many conferences that you can go on about healing. And I'm going to just start by looking at three examples of Jesus healing people, and then use that for what I'm going to say. So if you don't mind the first slide, which I hope will come up with what I've got on here. All of these will be really familiar to you. These are ones that we were taught from Sunday school onwards. So yes, you've got the same one as me. This one is from Matthew. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." A bit like our friend Paul. Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. And the second one, again, really well-known healing, is about Jairus' daughter. And that's from, good. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her, so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher any more?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother, and the disciples were with him, and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha, come, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. And the last one I've got is from John. The last line. That's it. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went and washed, and came home, seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was, others said no. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. I chose these really well-known examples because I think that they tell us really what I want to convey to you, that there is not one way that healing takes place. There is not one formula which you can use that ensures healing. Jesus, in all of these examples, did something differently. So, for Jesus with the centurion's servant, he didn't even meet him. He wasn't even in the same place as him when he was healed. The lady who touched his cloak, he didn't pick her out or her go to him. She just touched him and was healed. He spat on the ground and put clay in somebody's eyes and then told them to go and wash, and they were healed. And he raised a young lady from the dead by just commanding her to rise up. There are people who will tell you that there is a formula that you can use, that if you pray for somebody, that's how you should do it, and they will be healed. But if we go not just through these examples, but go through the so many examples that are in the Gospels about Jesus' healing, there wasn't a formula. Jesus didn't have a formula that he used. He didn't pray in a certain way or do things in a certain way for that to happen. But there was a key to what he was doing in every instance. And the key was that he was listening to his Father. He was listening to what God said. He was in tune with God. And therefore, it was through that and the power of the Holy Spirit that people were healed. It wasn't about him necessarily, him as a human. It was him in touch with his Father as God that these healings took place. And it is in that hearing process and that being close to God ourselves that helps us to pray for other people to be healed. I'm very encouraged in the different messages that people have brought over this summer, because to me, in every one of them, there has been a link to others. Right at the beginning, Daniel said to us, we should ask God for words for people. Do you remember? I don't know whether all of you were here then, but he was talking about somebody that he met in a garage, I think, if I remember the story rightly, and God gave them a word for this person, which was actually quite difficult because it was this person was going to be ill and was going to die. So not the kind of thing that you go out and tell somebody eventually, but through a whole series of circumstances, he was able to pray for this person later on and lead them to Christ, and to help them and their families through a very difficult process. So we've certainly been doing in the ladies' meeting, trying to learn to listen to God and listen to what he has to say to us, particularly for other people as well as ourselves. Now, these could be words about healing, or as in the case of Daniel, it was about God wanting a person to know that he understood them, he understood what they were going through, and he wanted to give comfort to them in quite dreadful circumstances. Asking God to reveal things about people, as we do in prophecy, can be a key to getting to the heart of what needs to be prayed for that person, because it might not necessarily be their healing, it might be something else that God wants to do for them. So I would encourage you to take what Daniel said to us about, Lord, speak to me when I'm in the supermarket, speak to me, you know, when I'm doing my everyday things. I know that Keith and Margaret go to a tea shop, and they've now been able to pray for people in a tea shop, haven't you? You've said recently. You know, it's in our just, we're not necessarily going to see the people walking in here. It's going to be the people that we come up against in our daily lives very often where this is going to happen. But the key is to being in tune with what God wants to do rather than our agenda. One of the ways that certainly helps with that is if we pray in tongues. That's another thing that we've been looking at in the women's group, is how praying in tongues can help us to hear from God, in which sort of overrides all the things that are going on in our minds, because very often all the problems in life and what we're thinking and so on can override and block out what God wants to say to us. But in praying in tongues, God can speak to us spirit to spirit, and it kind of bypasses this brain bit of us that sometimes can get in the way and bring doubt and so on in. When you're praying for somebody, certainly praying before you're going to, if you know that you're going to pray for somebody for healing, certainly praying before in tongues and praying in tongues with them can help with that. But I'll give some sort of some don'ts about that as well later on. I can't explain to you how these things work. I just know that they do work. I can't explain how praying in tongues changes a spiritual atmosphere, but I know it does. I know it does in buildings. I know just praying round a building in tongues. Certainly I did it in school in where I was working. It releases something of God into that place where he is able to work more easily. So, having said there isn't a formula, well, I could just kind of stop now, couldn't I? But I think I'm going to share some experiences with you that might help, just to show you how Graham and I particularly have seen God working and healing. One of our first encounters with it was in our previous church, where it was fairly frequent for people to have words of knowledge. So this is where somebody has a word comes to them, or a pain comes to them, something happens to them where they know God is trying to show them something. So, you know, it could be a pain in your elbow, or it could be a feeling about something which might be affecting somebody in the congregation. And what used to happen there was people couldn't just stand up and blurt it out. They would have to come out to the front, speak to whoever was leading the meeting, say what they were hearing, and then that person would decide whether it was appropriate to share what, you know, what the person had said. And so they would say, oh, well, I've during this meeting I feel I've got this pain in my elbow, and I know there's nothing wrong with my elbow. Is there anybody here who's experiencing elbow pain? And then the person would would either say or nothing would happen. And if nothing happens, it could be for two reasons. One, you've got it wrong, and you have to be willing to get things wrong. Or it could be that the person's too embarrassed. Quite often it was the second one, and people would come up at the end very sheepishly and say, well, actually, I have got a really bad pain in my elbow, but I didn't have to stand up in front of all these people. And then they would be prayed for. And my mother was one of those. I was actually sitting next to her in a service where I knew she had a really bad frozen shoulder. And this person said, there's somebody who's got a really bad frozen shoulder on this side, and you know, it's causing a lot of discomfort, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, she wasn't like me. She was a very quiet, gentle person. And so I thought, oh, she's not going to do it. Anyway, never mind. We'll wait till the end. And so at the end, I said to her, shall we go up? You know, and she said, oh, all right. So she went up, and but she was prayed for, and her frozen shoulder was healed instantly. There was one person in the church there who not only would know that somebody had a pain in their elbow, but would actually know who the person was. That's quite rare, I have to say, that people do know. Most times people get the feeling, but they don't know who it's for. But again, I would have to say to you that with all of these things, you've got to be gentle. So even if you did know, even if he had known that was my mother, he wouldn't have said, oh, you've got the frozen shoulder, why aren't you coming forward? Do you see what I mean? Because in all of these things, we have to be kind, we have to be gentle, we have to be sensitive to other people's feelings. So the thing that I found most encouraging about that, and why it raised a faith level in me to pray for people, was that when that happened, it was almost certain that the person would be healed, which is certainly not true in lots of other times when we pray for people for healing. You don't know. But when God directly intervenes into somebody's life, either that person is going to be healed or something else is going to be sorted out in their life that they perhaps, you know, didn't realise was causing them a problem. I'll just give you a few other examples again, and these are examples, because I'm saying there is no formula, so it's not necessary that you do it this way, but you need to be open to God to use you in whatever way he wants, like Jesus was. He let God do what he wanted with him, didn't he? So, One of the examples, which is very close to home, which has happened since we've been in this church, is Graham's healing. Now there, we had gone to this healing conference because we wanted to. We'd heard so much about this church, Bethel in the States, where a lot of healing was taking place, and this church down in Kent was in touch with, had these people from Bethel there. So we went to that. So we went really to learn. And Graham had been ill for 15 years, so he wasn't necessarily expecting to go and be healed. And we went through the whole conference and listened to what they had to say. And then on the last day, they had an open meeting where people could bring friends and relatives and anybody they knew who was sick. And the idea was that those of us who'd been on the conference would learn from, you know, seeing these people prayed for. So we did the worship like we've done this morning, not particularly, you know, it was just an ordinary worship time. And then the guy got up to speak, like me, and then we thought, all right, you know, he's going to preach a long word and then he's going to pray for people to be healed. And he didn't. He looked at this, about 450 people there, and he said to them, what I'm going to say to you is that you can pray for people to be healed, which is what I'm saying to every one of you. You can pray for people, and you can see people healed. So he said, I just want anybody who's got anything they've come to be prayed for to stand up. And Graham stood up, and about, I would say probably about 40 or 50 people stood up that had come and wanted something healed. And he said, right now, I want you to gather round them, and wherever you are, wherever they are in the hall, And he said, I'm going to give you a minute to find out what's wrong with them. He said, I don't want any long explanations about this, that, and the other. 1 minute. And he did. He just gave you 1 minute. You had to say, like, I've got pain in my elbow. I've got, you know, whatever it was. So, and then he said, now I'm going to give you a minute to pray for the people. He said, because God doesn't need your great lengthy prayers. He said, he doesn't need you to plead and with him, please, you know. He said, he just wants you to ask him, God, will you heal this person, basically. And so he did that, and then he asked the people, did, you know, did they feel any different after the couple of minutes? And I would say most people there put their hand up. And then he said, right, I'm going to give it another minute, because he said, we asked a few people what had happened, and they all said, oh, they felt slightly better. Or he actually asked you, Graham, didn't he? And you said, oh, yeah, I feel about 50% better. I can, you know, he asked them to do something they wouldn't be able to do otherwise, which is quite a good idea. And Graham had lost all of the grip, so he couldn't play the guitar. So he'd lost all the kind of grip in his hand, and he realised he'd got some grip back. And then, so he said, right. So he said, right, we're going to pray for another minute because we want God to 100% heal people. And then after that, he asked how many people were healed, and he went round and again went back to Graham on it because he was quite near the front, and said to him, and Graham said, oh, he's, I think he was about 80%, wasn't it? So, you know, he was a percentage better. And he said, oh, are you happy with that? Graham said, I'm ecstatic, because he could do stuff with his arm that he couldn't do before. Of course he was ecstatic. And he said, well, are you satisfied with that? And Graham said, basically, he was. You know, he was, but he said, well, he'd like it to be 100%, but he wasn't going to complain at 60%. So he said, no, 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 stand up. He said, now you ask God for 100%. He said, God's 100%, he's not 60%. So Graham stood up and was completely healed. And we could, the amazing thing is how God brings about these circumstances. A week or a fortnight before, Graham had got his guitar out that he hadn't used for 15 years to try and help our grandson with his chords, and he couldn't do it because he literally could not get his fingers round the thing. And I could be very sceptical. The day after, I said to him, get that guitar out again, see if you can play that. And he could. And he said it was like he had never stopped. I mean, how amazing is that? You know, because Graham was convinced he was 100% healed, but there's me thinking, oh, you know, doubting Thomas. And so he was able to go to Jack the next week and say, look, I can help you with your guitar because I can play now because God's healed me. So that really taught us the lesson that it isn't the man out the front. It is not the one with the anointing. It is you and I. It's you and I can pray for people and see people healed. It's the people in the tea shop that Keith and Margaret go to. They can see healing with, you know, and they don't have to go in with a big fanfare. They can just be themselves as Jesus has made you, and you can pray for people and they can be healed. One of the ones that I will always remember from the end of that day was when we came out at the end, there was a lady in the car park and she's going round reading all the car park numbers. Extraordinary, you know, she goes, oh, I can see that, oh, I can see that, oh, I can read that. And we went and said, what's going on? And she wasn't a Christian. Her friend had bought her because she had a tumour round behind one of her eyes, which was stopping her sight, and it was beginning to get to the other eye. And the friend had bought her, and she had her sight brought back. You know, we cannot explain it. We can only say to people that this is the God we worship, and he can do the miraculous, and we believe that. The last one of the examples I'm going to give you is, and this was a really strange one. When we were out in Spain, we used to go to a Bible study on a Tuesday, and it was about suppose like our home groups, about 10 people there. And we had the Bible study, and then we used to pray different things to do in the church just at the end, like we do in our home groups. Very ordinary. But the minister's wife had felt strongly through this meeting, that she should ask Graham to pray for everybody. And Graham said, "Well, what do you want me to pray for?" And she said, "Oh, I don't want you to pray particularly for anything." She said, "I just want you to go round to each person and ask God to bless them." So that was fine. So Graham went round the circle and he prayed for everybody. And a couple of people you could see were kind of like moved by the Holy Spirit, but you know, there was no great something, you know, happening then. We went back, it would be about 3 months later, we used to go out about every 3 months, this lady came up to me and she said, "You know, when Graham prayed for me in the Bible study," she said, "Well, I got my hearing back." You never said anything, you know. You would think that would be something people would say about, wouldn't you, if they could suddenly hear? And she said, "I didn't find out," she said, "until," she said, "I went to a quiz night with my husband, who's not a believer," and she said, "I couldn't hear what was going on." And she said, "He gets quite irritable with me sometimes." And he said to me, "Oh, for goodness sake, woman, give me that." He said, "You probably haven't got, you need a new battery." So she took her hearing aid out and realised that she could hear. When she took the other one out, she could hear perfectly. Now, Graham hadn't prayed for her to be healed. This is what I'm saying. God might want to do something with you for that person, which isn't necessarily healing, or it could be. You could be praying for something else and they get healing. Do you see what I mean? God will do what God wants to do. And he will do it through us if we let him. And I think that's the crux of it. There are some things that I think that you can do when you're praying for people. I think one of the things is you can say to the person not to try and help you. You know, I mean, I would hope that when somebody comes to Shari in the hospital and she starts to help them, they don't decide to interfere and help, you know, do it with her, take the bandages, take the things off of her, decide they're going to use the stethoscope, you know. The best thing you can do when people pray for you is to get yourself centered in God, is to just be quiet. I think it's really helpful to hold your hands up, because if you hold your hands up, you're usually asking for something, aren't you? You're either the beggar is asking, or you're asking for a present if you put your hands out. And that's what we're coming to God for. You're asking him for something. So I think just being quiet and holding your hands up really helps. Now, you're not probably going to do that in a tea shop. But in a lot of circumstances, like in church and things, that's really helpful. But people do want to help. I always used to try praying in tongues with them, and they said to me, "Stop. Don't do that. You know, we'll pray for you. You just receive. You know, just receive." When you're praying for people, very often we go to touch them. I would say don't touch them unless you ask them first. Now, in our church situation, I know I could put my hands on any of you and that would not offend you. But in the tea shop, I'm glad we've got this example, that people might think that's strange. You know, and we don't want people thinking that it's strange, because people think Christians are strange enough as it is without us making them seem even stranger, because we are strange at times. So praying in tongues. Now, in a church situation or we've done things like healing rooms, then if I was in that kind of situation, I would say to people, I'm going to pray in a heavenly language. I wouldn't say tongues, because they don't know what tongues is. I would say, "I've got my own prayer language," and which might sound a bit strange to you. "Do you mind if I do that? If you find it disturbing, tell me to stop," you know, and I would. I think all the things are about making that person feel comfortable, and not so that they can hear from God, receive from God, not making them feel awkward. And I think the only way that you won't ever pray for somebody and see them healed is by never praying. If you never pray for somebody to be healed, then of course you're never going to see it. Also, you might pray for 100 people and not see them healed. That might not be because they weren't healed, because we only found out about this lady who was deaf because we happened to go back and see her. She used to come and go like us. She didn't live there. It might be that God's doing something different in their lives that you don't know about. What I would say is if you pray for people, they should always feel afterwards that they have been loved and valued, and that they have received something from God, even if it's not healing. I would always pray the peace of God over people. I would always pray the love of God over people, so that you know, that is really what you want for people more than healing, is that they know that God loves them, that they're important to Him, and that they come to know Him eventually, because everybody's going to be healed by death. You know, there is an end to our suffering, but not everybody is going to be going to heaven when they die. So that is much more important from my point of view, that people are saved rather than healed. If they can be healed and saved, that's good. I think it was so interesting. This is why I think there's been this thread through what God's been teaching us over this summer. John preached 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? And he said, God can change circumstances, but God doesn't always change circumstances. But whether He changes your circumstances or not, He is always there for you. So God is always with us, and He's never against us. I can understand Paul Benison, because I am in pain all the time. It never goes away. And I have had lots of people pray for me. I have prayed for people, there's a Russian church we went to out in Spain, where I prayed for somebody who had the same condition as me. And I was like Paul when it finished, because she was healed and I wasn't. And I went outside and I was just like so ticked off about it, I have to say. Because we had driven about an hour and a half, which always makes my condition worse, to get to this place. And, you know, I can understand why they say, why God? Why? You know, the power of the Holy Spirit was so present at that time. In fact, I said to her, you pray for me now, I pray for you, you pray for me, because I thought, oh, come on, I'm never, you know, I might not be in this place again where I just feel so sensible presence so strongly. But I know God is with me, you know, and I know whatever circumstances I go through, that He is in it with me. And so that's not going to stop me from praying for people, because, and that's not going to stop me asking people to pray, you know, pray for me. Ever you feel inclined, I don't mind how many times I'm prayed for, because you're always going to benefit from people's being prayed for, whether you're healed or not. So that's what I would encourage you. This week, I'm going to ask God, bring somebody in my way who I could pray for healing, or for a touch of God, or whatever, because if that's what Jesus used to make His church grow when He was on earth, then surely that's what we need to do if we want to see these 100 chairs filled. Because I don't think it's because people are going to suddenly be drawn to come in here. I think it's going to have to be God touches them out there and that brings them in here. Okay? So, yeah, encourage you. Encourage you. I pray we're going to get people coming back and saying, you know, Margaret and Keith coming back and saying, I prayed for this person in the tea shop and this happened. Or, you know, somebody at the checkout at the supermarket, you know, saying that they've got something wrong with them. Or somebody at work I mean, Sharon must be able to see people who don't work. But then she must see other times when that doesn't happen, but it doesn't stop her from going to work and trying to do the bit that she can for the people who she does see healed. So I don't think that should stop us either. So anybody wants prayer for healing afterwards? We've got time, even just a few of us. I'm going to leave that with you for this week.